Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 249. It is the week of September 27th, 2017. Very grateful that you came along, download the show. If you're a returning listener, appreciate that very much. If you're a new listener, definitely encourage you to go back several episodes back and listen to other shows before you make a full before you completely evaluate the podcast, whether it's something you want to listen to again, because I tend to go out on some tangents if you just pick one episode out. But anyway, I'm very thankful that you download the show and that you've come along. A lot of stuff going on in the country these days, and got a lot going on in our small town that I live in here in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. And I'm going to kind of mix in how running is going to be can possibly be affected at some point in the future in the town of Ashland because of this RVA to DC high-speed rail project that is being discussed with our local government here. When I say RVA, that means Richmond, Virginia to DC, District of Columbia, high-speed rail. Ashland is a town of about 7,000 residents. I think it might be about 5 or 6 square miles. I'm not really sure how big it is. I know it's about 7,000 people. And railroad tracks, two railroad tracks go right through the middle of town, and it is a railroad town. It kind of sprung up 1800s going into the early 1900s, turn of the century. Houses were built around the turn of the century along the railroad tracks, large homes, and a trolley line used to come up from Richmond, and Ashland was kind of a little bit of a resort area. Prior to all that happening, it was a stop off during the Civil War where there was a hospital there, and businesses sprung up along the tracks. There's a train station, and it's a small railroad town. Trains go through the town on a regular basis, and if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me talk about this before. I've had audio clips in the past with the train, and it's a cool thing to have there because we have the Amtrak passenger trains that come through and stop every now and then, and then you have freight trains that come through on a regular basis. Well, all that is being reevaluated now, and a third rail is now being considered to be added to add a high-speed train. I'm not sure how everything would be configured, and I'm not sure which trains can go on which tracks. I've gone to as many presentations as I can as a town resident. I've read as much stuff as I can that's posted on the internet from meetings. And it's gotten to a point now where the town we cannot have a third rail because it'll take out one of the roads that people access their homes. And then there was an option of a trench where you dig and the trains would go under the town, but that would be too wide and that would pretty much close down the downtown area and access to businesses, because not all businesses have rear access for the duration of the construction, which could be 2 to 3 years. And then there's a western bypass was proposed, but that was the people who live west of the town in the farms and property that's been in their house in their families for years and years and years, and houses that have been built along there. Apparently it'd be 24 homes and at least one church that would be impacted and would have to be destroyed and that land taken for the western bypass. That's kind of pitted those people against the people in the town, people that have an opinion about everything. So not that there's this big war going on. It's a war of words and a war of opinions to be to recommend to the Commonwealth Transportation Board, which will have the final say to recommend to the Federal Railroad Administration. And guess what? All this won't happen anytime soon. So it's not like any of this is happening anytime soon. However, some of the plans that are made in today's times will very well be revisited 15 to 20 years in the future. All the politicians will be different. Some of the residents will even be different. But a lot of people are pretty upset about this now. So how does this affect running? Well, most of my running routes are along the tracks. I really like running along the railroad tracks. It's about a mile and a half or so of downtown, and then the college and the residential area that lines the tracks, both sides of the railroad tracks, which go north to south. And I think several episodes back, I posted a video of a drone flying over the town to kind of demonstrate what it looks like. So go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and just watch that short YouTube video if you're interested. I think it might be 3 or 4 episodes back. And it's a pretty cool video to kind of demonstrate what the area looks like. Well, if a high-speed rail comes through there, that there's going to have to be barriers put up. And that's, for the most part, or even during construction, there's going to be barriers put up. And that would pretty much block, you know, access across the tracks. As it is now, you can just walk across the tracks on foot. They do have some walkways that go across, but you can just walk on the tracks if you want. You're not supposed to, but a lot of people just cut across that way. It'd be just one side of town and the other, and a lot of this is disappointing because it's a very pedestrian-friendly downtown area, and any change in that would any change to the landscape of the downtown area is going to change that. And I like running down there. I like cutting across the tracks. I like crossing over when a train's coming. I like to get crossed over and run up the other side. If I'm going to be making a left or a right, that way I don't get stuck by the train. And a lot of this is just to increase, from what we're told in these presentations, is really to increase freight transportation, or increase the amount of freight that can be brought through the town. It's not necessarily passenger transportation, although that's what the there's, you know, different sides of this issue. I don't see a whole lot of people taking Amtrak right now when the train comes through the town. It's just the seats are empty, because you can look right into the train when it stops at the train station and it's not full of people. And I don't understand where this big transition is going to happen when you have a train that now gets you up from Richmond to D.C. 20 minutes fast. And that's it. That's the difference. I've talked about this before in the podcast. It's only about 20 minutes difference. I don't know how all these people are going to start taking the train when they can take a plane. And we even had one little girl in one of the community meetings say that if you need to get there that quicker, then maybe you should move closer. So there's these sarcastic counter arguments for everything, and I just think it's a real shame for the federal government to come in and do anything that would destroy this small town, which is really very iconic for the Richmond area. It's the only incorporated town in the Richmond metropolitan area. We moved here, raising our family here. It's a great place to live and raise a family. Everything's close. It's a safe area for the most part, and I love living here. I'm not going to die here. I mean, this is not where I'm going to be probably in 20 years. I'm certainly not going to be living in a two-story house when I'm let's see, I'm 48 now, so 20 years, I'll be 68, almost 70. Hopefully by then, my wife and I will be in the maybe the last place we're going to live before, I guess, the nursing home or whatever. And I'm certainly don't want to be living in a two-story house, so we probably won't even be living in this area. But I just think it's a real shame if any of this was to happen, or if you know, if you're buying property, or if you have a business along the railroad tracks, you're afraid to invest into that business with the potential that it might go away. So that's kind of a big issue that's going on right now, and I'm going to move on from that because I don't want to bore everybody that listens to the show with our local issues. But for an area that was kind of a close-knit, tight area, a rural county with an incorporated town in the county, now you have people that live in the town don't want the third rail in the town. They want it out on the Western Bypass, and then, of course, the people on the Western Bypass feel like they got sold out by the town politicians because they want it to be in the town where the railroad tracks already are. It's a very complicated issue, and it's probably just going to get worse as time goes on. Let me move on to the national anthem issue, and I'm going to make a couple comments about this, all because how bad it got this past weekend. All right, the national anthem issue has really gotten bad, and it's kind of shameful, really, what has happened in the National Football League. Let me back up a little bit. I went down to Charlotte, North Carolina the week of the, I think it was the 23rd. It was just the other day. A week ago, the 18th or 17th or 18th, something like that. And I watched the Panthers and the Bills play at Bank of America Stadium with my good friend Rob that lives down there. Great time. Went with his son Brody, tailgated. Lots of Bills fans down there, lots of Panthers fans down there, lots of white people, lots of black people, just lots of lovers of football, you know. The cool thing was is that it's a common activity that brings different types of people together, even people that like different teams. And so we were hanging out with Panthers fans, we were hanging out with other Bills fans, we were hanging out and talking with people in the big tailgate section where we were hanging out, you know, waiting in lines for the porta john, walking around here, walking around there, people throwing balls around. So, you know, comes over to your area and you throw it back, and then you end up chit-chatting with people, all kinds of different people from who knows where they're from. You know, you don't always know where everybody's from, but you have this common interest in football because it's such an American thing. And then what happened was this past weekend, and I didn't remember anybody kneeling at the game. I didn't see it. I kind of looked for it. I didn't really see anything. And then what happened this past weekend is you had all these players that did it. I think about 200 of the almost 1,900, I think it's about 1,900 players in the league. They decided to shit all over it. They shit all over the American flag. Now, a complete disgrace. Now, a lot of people saying, oh, that's the biggest. I think Bob Costas even said that's a form of patriotism, is to have your freedom of speech, or he said some nonsense. I don't even listen to him anymore, and it was by accident that I watched part of this video that he had on the internet. Anyway, I should have just known that if I was just going to listen to a little bit of it, there's going to be a bunch of BS anyway. But patriotism is a vigorous support for one's country. And the only thing that bonds all of us together as Americans, the only thing that symbolizes that, it's not the eagle, okay? It's not the American eagle. It's the flag of the United States. That's the only symbol that we all have in common as Americans. That's what symbolizes what we have in common. And it just, I just couldn't believe that you had all these guys that just shit all over that, everything that it stands for. And they're protesting the police. That's where this all started. And what Colin Kaepernick did, I guess it was last year before he didn't get rehired, and nobody's going to hire him. Then Megan Rapinoe did it when she was playing for the United States women's national soccer team, which I can't believe she's still on the team after showing that kind of disrespect during the playing of her own country's national anthem. And she's wearing the emblem of her own country. She's representing her own country, and she knelt for the national anthem, which was unbelievable. Of course, that's all water under the bridge now. She's back on the team. And I got to say, I don't really follow the national soccer team, men's and women's teams. The women win a lot more than the men do. But I got to be honest with you, I just have not been as interested in following that team after that kind of behavior was allowed to take place. If you want to protest what's happening in this country, the time to do it is not necessarily when you're at work, okay, representing your country, or entertaining people, because they're going to turn that off. Like, just like I've turned off football. I'm a big Buffalo Bills fan, and I will be. I still am. You know, they're going to play every week, and I will somehow figure out what the result is. But I'm not going to support the production of the game by listening to commercials or anything that goes along with that. Okay, I was disgusted by their behavior. I just could not believe that so many people took part in this. And they're being used as pawns. It's just tough. So these are some of the points that I've been thinking about when all this went on. The National Football League is the organization that instituted the national anthem being played before the games. This is a ceremony that they instituted. It wasn't something that just somebody in the stadium decides to do. The National Football League decided to do that. The whoever sits on the board of the league. Okay, so why are you going to stain that? If this is a ceremony that you are having as part of the production of the game, why are you going to go and then stain it and allow people to stain it? That flag means a lot more to a lot of people than any football team. And I'll fall in that camp. Okay, I serve my community. I've dedicated my life to public service in my community. Okay, I wouldn't say I serve the nation because I'm not in the military, but I'm local police, all right? And you have these people protesting for a false narrative anyway. I mean, first of all, Trayvon wasn't even killed by a police officer. And then one of the other big ones, Michael Brown, he was committing a crime. He's trying to get an officer's gun when he got killed. And it's a complete false narrative on that aspect. There's some other things that they have that the protesters have you know, legitimate concerns on. I certainly am not going to disagree with that. But why are you using the time that the national anthem is played when the flag is being brought out on the field? You have a military or a police color guard coming out on the field, and you're going to sit there and shit all over them. You know, that cloth, the flag, that's what comes home on our dead soldiers. It's the same symbol that's flying above the stadium that's being brought out by the honor guard. And then to protest it, it's beyond me. It really is. And, you know, everybody keeps saying, oh, they have the right to protest. They have the right to protest. Of course you have the right to say anything you want in this country. That's what makes it great. But they're at work, and their bosses are letting them do it. And I'm one of the customers, and I can choose to I choose to spend my dollars elsewhere. There's no way a company's going to survive if they're going to shit on veterans, shit on the flag, or disrespect people who are patriots. There's no way it's going to survive. It might take a while, but I don't think it's going to collapse, because I think they'll get their act together. But they will suffer a little bit. And I feel confident that the NFL is going to get this problem squared away, because it can't go on week after week after week. Let me comment on what the Steelers did. Of course, none of the Pittsburgh Steelers came out of the locker room except for Al Villanueva. I think it's pronounced correctly. He's an Afghan war veteran. He was apparently an Army Ranger. He came out partially out of the tunnel and placed his hand over his heart for the playing of the national anthem. Now, if they didn't play the national anthem before these games, none of this would be an issue. It really wouldn't. But again, if the NFL is going to have that ceremony as part of the game production, then people need to behave accordingly or suffer consequences from their organization. But then if the organization is not going to have these people suffer consequences, then they're going to lose customers. And if they're okay with that, then that's fine. I mean, that's capitalism. The free market will decide if someone wants to keep buying that, consuming that product, which is the game, or not. But getting back to him, so I really thought, man, this guy is a stand-up guy. His whole team's going to be in the tunnel. None of them want to come out for the national anthem. Even though all the fans are there, they're all going to be watching the national anthem, but they don't want to come out. And then you have this guy that did come out. And then would you believe he actually ended up apologizing for that, because he wasn't part of his team's unit. And I was just thoroughly disgusted by that. To have a veteran apologizing for coming out and standing for the national anthem when the rest of his team didn't, and he was apologizing. I do see the other side. I think that's the point. That's when you break from your team, man. I mean, I'm about what's right and wrong, truth versus bullshit, okay? And the wrong thing to do is disrespect your country in front of everybody. The right thing to do is to stand up for the national anthem. It's a behavior. It's a choice. Of course it's a choice. But you're at work. And I'm still surprised that the bosses allow this to happen. And then the whole Dallas Cowboys thing on Monday night. And then I watched what they did, and that turned the game off. I watched, I record a lot of Premier League soccer, so I watched that. All right, so I'm going to move on, but I'm going to say one more thing about the First Amendment. People are really getting confused about where these rights can be expressed. You don't have the freedom to do that wherever you are. You have the freedom to say anything that you want without any consequence from the government, not from your boss. And if your bosses let you do it, that's fine. But what I think is very strange with the National Football League is that you have guys that get in trouble for celebrations in the end zone. You have the team, some, like back when the six Dallas police officers were murdered, the Dallas Cowboys wanted to have an emblem placed on the back of their helmet just to kind of signify that they recognized that they just had this tragedy in their community, and that was denied by the NFL. But mass kneeling for the national anthem is allowed, and at least be consistent. At least be consistent. All right. I swear I'm going to talk about running here in a few minutes. I've got some great emails in the email bag. That's if you're still listening to the show. I'm sure some people might have turned it off by now. I just feel very strongly about this. Either we're a country or we're not. And this is a great place to live. Yeah, we got problems. We got flaws. That's because you have 320 million people that live here. If it was a town of 500 people, we could probably get everybody on the same sheet at some point in time. You're always going to have people that are going to disagree with things, but you know, you can communicate a lot better with people when it's a lot smaller. There's 300 at least 320 million people here. There's always going to be problems. But I'm just going to say that we have that one symbol that keeps us together, that reminds us of why we're able to have this huge debate. And I just feel strongly that the time to crap all over that is not when we're actually honoring our flag, because that's the only symbol we have. And to me, when someone kneels for the national anthem or keeps their helmet on, or gosh, the Buffalo Bills player that just kept on stretching on the ground while the national anthem was playing, you're disrespecting everybody that is a patriot, because you're just thumbing your nose at it and saying you don't care. And it just, it hurts. All right, Puerto Rico. Keep that country or that territory in your prayers. Sounds like our government's finally getting some stuff down there. You know, if you watch the media, it sounds like we're not doing anything. The mainland U.S. is not doing anything to help them. You know, no amount of preparation can really help when pretty much a whole area is destroyed. And that, you know, that's part of life. Things get destroyed, and then you have to rebuild. And a lot of those people will down there. There's a lot of Americans that live there. I'm glad to see that we're getting lots of supplies down there, but there is going to be some suffering. This is Earth and it's people, and you can't just snap your fingers and have supplies and gasoline already there. And I just pray that people don't get hurt by other people being victimized because they can't get supplies. I mean, that's the irony, is that you survive the storm, but then you're maimed or hurt trying to survive in the aftermath by somebody that victimizes you. And I think I talked a little bit about, I guess it was Irma that came through. I can't remember the one that, it was the one that came, whatever the one that was that came through Texas. I got that in the email bag. I can't remember the one that came through, but boy, the one that went through Houston was really something. All right, let me talk a little bit about the Bel Monte Endurance Run. That's going to be my big run for the spring. I think I might have mentioned this in the previous show. There's a 50-miler, 50K, and then a 25K, and this is on March 10th of 2018. I pulled the trigger and registered. I'm hoping my friend Ashlyn Tom does as well. And also went ahead and reserved a mountain cabin for that weekend, just to kind of make it a family thing. And we're going to be able to bring the dog as well, so that'll keep the cost down without having to board the dog for two nights. It's a Saturday race. The reason I'm not doing the 50-miler is because this is a race that's in the mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And I did watch an online video on YouTube about it. It does look pretty hilly. And I don't want to sign on for a 50-mile mountain run with a 13-hour cutoff thinking that I'm going to be really close to the cutoff. I think what I want to do is do the 50K, which is really, according to the website, about 34 miles, so it's more than 50K. See how that is and see how I do with the cutoff there. It's a 9-hour cutoff. I mean, I know I can run that far in 9 hours, but the question is, can I do it in the mountains? So I'm pretty excited about it. So I've got an early spring race, and I'm hoping to kind of replicate what I did last year when I was training for the race up in Michigan. I had a really good training session or training cycle for that. And went up and had a lot of success. And actually, I've had a really good 2017. I'll do the Richmond Half Marathon on November 11th. Ahead of that, there might even do the Dahlgren Half Marathon sometime in February. Because at that point in time, I'll be well into the double long run weekends, that's for sure. So maybe I can talk Brian into doing that, or maybe Ashlyn Tom, or even Ashlyn Bob. We can go up and do that half marathon up there, which I've done. Sometimes there's even snow on the ground. I think it's a great event. But the Bel Monte, the main reason I'm doing it is because Sandy, who's a regular listener to the show, she did it several years ago, and she said the views were just spectacular. And it's in Virginia, it's close by, and I've kind of always wanted to do some kind of race up in those mountains. And so I'm finally pulled the trigger, and I'm going to do it. And the lady that and her husband, the race director, is Francesca Conti, and her husband's name is Gil. I can't think of his last name. They're the race directors for the Charlottesville Marathon, and I think he's an ultra runner, but I know she is. And I saw her at the Piedmont 8 Hours last year or the year before. I think it was last year when I did that. in that 8-hour run I did in August. And if you remember me talking about the female bleeder, then you can make some connections right there, and you'll know who she is. Poor thing. That had to really been painful. So looking forward to that, and we'll see. If I make the 50K, maybe I'll return the next year and try to do the 50-miler. I want to do another 50-miler. I really do. Because I've had success with it before, and it's a great distance. All right, let's get into some of the email. Do you have some pretty cool email here? So you checked in here. Heard from Down Under Dave. He's on Deal Island, which is, I think, part of the Flinders Island municipality down in Australia. I think he's on an island that nobody else is on. He says he's been there for 2 weeks, loving the total solitude. All the runs have been hilly. And says will stand me in good stead for next year's events. There's a lighthouse there. It's the highest lighthouse in the whole Australian continent area, 280 meters above sea level. And I'm not sure. I think that's about 1,100 feet. I'm going to look that up. All right, I used like an online calculator. Looks like 280 meters is about 918 feet, which is really not that high. However, that's the highest in Australia. I thought Australia had some mountains. Dave, I'm probably misinformed on that, but nice to get the email from you. And I do appreciate, give me an email when you get back home. And sounds like you got some big plans for 2018. Good to hear from you. Also heard from Tim. And Tim is from the Chattanooga area, I believe. It's the same. I've been communicating email with him for years. And I think I'm going to be able to meet him this year because he's coming up to do the Richmond Marathon on November 11th. And we're going to try to meet up at the start because the Richmond half and the Richmond full start very close around the same time. So you can meet up. Matter of fact, usually carpool down with Ashlyn Tom, but this year I don't think he's going to be running it because he's got something else going on that day. But so hoping to run into Tim. He says he did support some of my opinion in some of the shows. He said appreciate your candor and hearing your thoughts. He said you should never apologize for your opinions unless they are used to hurt another person, and that's not my goal. As most people who listen to the show know, I'm not here to insult other people. I just sometimes observe things and I have questions and I just kind of do a lot of rhetorical questioning. Anyway, he commented on being passed at the finish line. He says, I too didn't like it when I was passed by someone at the finish line. Several years ago, I realized I run for me and push as hard as I can. The time I finish is up to me. Can't control someone else. If someone beats me, so be it, or I need to run faster. With that said, as I move up in age groups, there are fewer 59-plus guys running, so I'm getting much better age group finishes. It's usually younger guys passing me. And he likes to listen to the podcast on long runs. And he's doing the main marathon on October 1st with his son, and then he's going to be doing the November marathon on the Richmond marathon November 11th. So, Tim, I will see you in Richmond. And, you know, if you do one more, if you do three in 3 months, you get maniac status. I don't know if that's something that interests you or not. That's how I got mine. And I don't really keep up with it anymore, but it is kind of cool that I'm still a marathon maniac. I'm number 1319, if that means anything to anybody. So thanks for the email. Heard from Keith from Georgetown, Texas. He says, Dave, just want to let you know how much I like hearing from you regardless of the topic. I run alone most of the time, but every couple of weeks I have my friend Dave to run with. He's talking about me. He is training for the Austin Distance Challenge, and he wants to run the Austin Marathon in February, but he says these 81-year-old legs may have to settle for the half. Keith, man, 81 and still doing a half marathon, or even has the desire to do a full marathon. My hat's off to you, Keith, and I appreciate you writing in and listening to the show. I love getting the emails from folks that they listen to the show and then you don't hear from them for a long time and then you hear back and you know, they've just been listening all along. It really is inspiring to me to kind of keep producing the show and keep getting out there and running, knowing that the other listeners to the podcast have you know, they're doing the same thing, and you kind of have this thing in common that you just check in periodically on. Keith, thanks for the email and all the best. I did look up the Austin Distance Challenge, and it looks like it's several different events. I'm curious if you're doing all of them or which one you were going to do. So if you get a chance, send me back an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I also heard from Dr. Smitty. He has been very busy lately. He did the Richmond Growler Relay, and he did invite me. He and his girlfriend invited me to be a part of that when they were in the Richmond area, but I had a conflict with that weekend, and I think it was the weekend I was down in Charlotte at the football game, or was the weekend before that I had something else going on. I can't quite remember exactly, but it sounds like y'all had a great time. He said his group is the Big Ugly Running Posse, and the acronym for that is BURP, or BURP. They won the largest team and fastest. Okay, they didn't win the Growler Relay, but they won for the largest team and fastest team at the Heart of Ghent 10K this past weekend, which I believe was probably in the Chesapeake area. And they had the 2nd, 5th, and 7th place overall on their team of 48 runners. That's pretty spectacular. He said he went sub 43 minutes for the 10K, which he hasn't done in years. They're also doing the Crawling Crab relay as a relay team, the Wicked 10K, and the Seashore 50K. The Seashore 50K is a great race that's down at Seashore, or First Landing State Park. It used to be called Seashore State Park. It's a state park that's pretty much right on the Chesapeake Bay. And I did that in its first year, or it might have been the second year. It was the year that the tide came in, or it flooded or something. I remember running through knee-deep water, which actually felt pretty good because my legs were hurting so bad. But anyway, so Dr. Smitty's pretty busy, and he says his friend Steve Spears, who's a well-known ultra runner down there, did a 24-hour run in Cleveland and covered just over 140 miles, and this guy's 51 years old. He just keeps getting better and better. And then Dr. Smitty asked if I was boycotting the NFL yet. I wrote him back and said, "Yeah, I am now. I'm not going to watch a sport that's just disrespectful to the country. It's just there's other stuff to do, and I feel like I got to do my part and send a message that you're not going to be a successful business with me if you're just going to sit there and shit on the flag. It's just that's not going to fly with me, and I have the choice to spend my dollars wherever I want." Anyway, he says he never had a favorite team or father too much, but he watches the game sometimes. The whole world's getting crazier. And then he said the world's kind of becoming like this movie, Idiocracy. I have not seen that. He says it's kind of a dumb movie, but it actually shows where society is heading. And he said, check out the trailer online. So I did. And it does look like a really stupid movie, but, you know, as a society, in a way, there's a whole segment of our population that is going to the stupid zone. And it's the people that live on their device, and that's the only place that's where they think everything is completely real, and it's just getting strange. I don't know. So, Greg, thanks for the email, and I guess we won't see you at all this year. Maybe in the spring at the Ashland Rower Run, I'm sure you'll be coming back for that. So, thanks for the email. Thanks for listening to the show, and it was nice having you up here for the Patrick Henry Half. All right, got a race report from Neil, and Neil Richard up in the King George area, which is where the Dahlgren Half and Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K, and that's Dahlgren as opposed to Dog Run. If you've listened to previous shows, you'll understand that reference. Anyway, he ran it was a 10K. Let's see. It was a four mile race called the 2017 Yankees and Falmouth Cannon Run. And what they do is they have a cannon start, and they use some Confederate reenactors for this. And he said the national anthem played. And then he said it was kind of depressing when the red, white, and blue runners didn't even remove their hat for the national anthem. And these people, the red RWB runners, they're always at the events that I see when I've done anything north of where I live. It's a large veterans group. Their mission is to enrich the lives of veterans by connecting them with their community, through physical and social activity. And so a lot of them are veterans. And So Neil was saying that when they had the national anthem, people didn't even take their hat off, which is customary. It's customary to stand at attention and salute if you're active duty military or your police. And you don't ever salute if you don't have a hat on. Okay, that just, you're not supposed to do that. And or you put your hand over your heart, which is custom. It's the custom. It's an American custom. And in order for something to be a custom, people have to do it and keep doing it. Otherwise, it disappears over time. Anyway, he referenced me in his race report, which he had posted on his blog, and it said, at least I understood that. And, you know, evolution, man, eventually these things go away if we don't do them as Americans. And it's just sad, and I'm not going to go on a whole other diatribe about it. But he said President Abraham Lincoln was at the finish line, put the medal around his neck. He walked around a bit debating if he should just go to the car, get something to eat, or come back, take some pictures. He opted to stick around, and he did. And because the entry list was small, he got first in his age group. Turns out he was the only one in his age group, which is better than nothing. And he got a trophy and a finisher's medal, which was not too bad. And apparently he had a new personal record for that distance. I didn't copy down what his time was, but his previous one was 48:24 from way back in 2009. So he beat that. So well done, Neil. And appreciate you sharing that race report. I really do. And hopefully those red, white, and blue runners will get their act together and they won't do that anymore. That'd be really nice. Appreciate it. All right, so Neil got the PR. His next race is Oil Creek 100 in October. That is in Titusville, Pennsylvania, which is west of Wellsboro, about, I think, 3 hours, and not that far from New York State. And he's saying he's no real training beforehand. I know he's done this race before. He writes, with no real training beforehand, so, you know, just doing my normal stupid shit. So good luck to you, Neil, on that. That's October 14th up in Pennsylvania. And hope you finish that. Hope you don't suffer any injury or anything. I heard from Richard Yarp out of the Woodlands, Texas. I actually checked on him after I heard the Woodlands was getting flooding and torrential rains from the hurricane down there. And, he says J.J. Watt does some wonderful things down there in Houston. He said it's not the first time he's given back to the city, and he's been like that for a number of years, and he's only 28, so that's pretty cool. So good to hear from you, Richard. And then, of course, heard from Brian out of Fort Payne, Alabama. Which I had to look up. That's a small town as well. He says, long-time listener to the podcast. I really enjoy your honesty and dedication to running. Thanks for promoting the sport. I'm a physical education teacher at Geraldine Elementary School in DeKalb County, Alabama, which is near Fort Payne. He does about 30 miles a week, races 15, 18 times a year, done 9 marathons, and he says he's glad to hear that some folks way up north in Virginia still have common sense. Thanks for all the running information and stories of everyday life in a small town. Looking forward to the next race recap. And then here, this is the last part of his email that I absolutely loved. It says, don't let anybody pass you at the finish line. So I'm pretty sure I had the wrong attitude back at the Night Train 50K when I complained about being chicked there right at the end. And then I also got a kick out of him saying way up north in Virginia. You know, here in Virginia, we like to think that we're the center of the South, but only because it was the former capital of the Confederacy, I guess. But most of us in Virginia do realize that we're on the northern end of the South. But I always do get a kick out of when people say way up north in Virginia when we think we're right in the middle of the South. But anyway, good to hear from Brian, a regular listener of the show, and I really do appreciate that a whole lot, Brian. Thanks for the email. And that goes for everybody else. If you want to check in, it's ashlanddave@gmail.com. Let me know where you hail from, what kind of running you do. I'll mention you on the show, and I always love to hear from listeners, so I always appreciate those that find the time to send in the email. So that's it for this episode of the podcast. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Please come back next time, listen to another show, Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and enjoy this fine song.